Happy New Year and welcome to our 2023 season of Coffee and Technology. We're excited to continue bringing you new episodes with a year of more special guests. This year's kickoff looks into the future of IoT and collecting brew data in cafes. Let's get the year going. All right. So then, Norbert, what is the Internet of Things? What is IoT?
Oh, IoT. That's awesome. IoT is a fairly recent the definition or development. It really started when the internet became more available and devices became more connected. So first, we, of course, connected computers and stuff like, well, that's great. We can communicate with each other, right? There was email, there was internet relay chats, and there was all those devices and services. And then suddenly, of course, people thought, like, what if we connect other things? So every tool we use in our lives. And one of those ideas I became aware early on, and I think which was big in the media, was like the connected fridge. Like, why would I want to connect my fridge with the internet, or my washing machine, or my dryer, or my and it still, I think, is this big question why. But let's go back to the how, and the how is, well, each device is basically turned into a small computer. Mm-hmm. And that small computer connects to the internet and connects to a database and connects to services. So depending on what it is, you can remotely tell that device what to do, or that device can get better data from the cloud. And it all starts fairly simple. So I think the most useful thing is always, if there's a device which already has a microchip and a computer in there, let's take a fridge, or let's take a washing machine. Like a washing machine, they have so many programs depending on, you know, what you put in there and what time and what and how old it is and all those interesting things. So there's already a program running, and as we know, software is never perfect. So there can be a bug, there can be a problem, but mm-hmm. also over time you might learn how to make those machines better. It's the same hardware, it's the same motor, the same equipment, but you would know, well, if I add a new software, it could do better things. So having an internet connected machine allows you to update to the latest version. And that alone is already very, very useful. But then you can do a lot more things, like car manufacturers do, or like any other, like same with the fridge. Mm-hmm. Manufacturers learn how people actually use those devices by generating data. Before, that wasn't possible, right? They would do user studies. They would ask you, how do you use your fridge? How often do you open your fridge a day? And you would say, well, I guess maybe 15 times. Like, when do you open your fridge? I don't know. I'm in the morning, for lunch, for in the evening. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
And those are all best guesses. And now they have the real data. They know when you open the fridge, what you do with it, how long does it stay open? Do you take water from the dispenser? It might seem very small, but really that data makes and can make the product much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Knowing what the user is actually using it for and how. Or, you know, knowing that, I don't know, 20% leave their door open, the fridge door open. So that means, there needs to be an alarm. There needs to be something or that door is not working well.
Yeah.
Why would they leave it open? Nobody likes to do that. But if it doesn't close well, there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
So you can learn from all those things. And the more complex the device gets, the more opportunity there is.
Yeah.
Like a car. So cars are already super electronic. Most problems are not found by someone taking out a few screws, but actually connecting a computer and read the error codes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like all that data also, like, that people don't sometimes think about is also has to do with like improving longevity of a product. And this relates probably to like coffee, for example, is like,
longevity and like understanding usage of a product to help for maintenance, for example, like understanding which, if you go back to the fridge, like how many times a day is the door opening? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if someone's saying 20, but really they're opening it up 40 times a day, well, it helps them understand like, okay, after a while, this door is not going to open the same way as it used to. And helps the manufacturer know then too, it's like, what can we do to improve and extend the longevity or make parts or hardware more durable or whatever it means. So I feel like there's that aspect of it as well that that goes both ways.
Right. And I think that's, I mean, what you do with data is always in the hands of the people who deal with the data. And you can either optimize to basically make that thing break after exactly 2,000 users, and that's what the warranty says.
Mm-hmm.
Or you would say, no, I want to build something which is better and lasting longer. And there's, of course, also jurisdiction. So there's different movements now where, especially in the European Union, certain things need to be maintainable and repairable, which, again, I think the last 30 years were quite terrible in that development. But it's changing now towards things can need to last longer, need to be better. And also consumers, I think, are willing to pay for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing. So, I mean, ultimately also companies need to understand how to price things, right? If you produce a washing machine which just lasts for 100 years, it might be very hard to do that for a very long time. Now, if you produce a washing machine which lasts very long, but also has the spare parts available and a meaningful maintenance schedule, which makes it last you 100 years, but still generate some revenue and generate some interaction with the manufacturer, it can it's more sustainable for everybody.
Mm.
So, and that's basically keeping those spare parts out. And one of those things is, especially washing machines, right? It's super horrible. It breaks down. It takes you a while until you get hold of someone who can tell you, who can even look at it.
Yeah.
Look at it and it's like, no, this is actually broken and it makes no sense anymore. Then it takes a while until you get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do in that period of time? Nobody likes to be without a washing machine. And that is only if you talk about homes where you can maybe go to a neighbor or a friend or a family member or something, right? You figure it out. For businesses, that's even more impactful.
Yeah.
And now let's go to our espresso machine.
Yeah.
If that espresso machine breaks today, until the service technician comes out, until the part is ordered, until everything is fixed, you might lose a week or two of productive, of not making espressos, basically.
It's a big chunk of revenue loss, for sure.
That's a huge revenue loss. And beyond that is also a huge repetition loss, where you know, people would come in, be disappointed. It's like, I wanted an espresso. Well, I don't get it today.
Mm.
And then you're basically turned away. So you're not only paying for something you would like, or not paying for something you would like to pay, but you also turned off and it's like, well, who knows when it comes back, I go to a different place. And in that week or two, you might just establish a new habit and just be fine with that other new place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like a washing machine where, you figure it out, you find a way around. Those machines should work all the time, need to work all the time.
Yeah.
So what you do with those devices, the same as like cars, where you absolutely need to rely on a car to get from A to B, for transportation companies, there's so many examples where machines cannot break down.
Yeah.
So you do preemptive maintenance, right? And preemptive maintenance means just you're on a schedule and you change those tires and you change the pump and you change those washers and you change whatever things which might break, you change them before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But they might be still totally good and they might still have 50% of life in them or maybe more. But since you don't want to take that risk, there's a lot of waste by by just doing it on the schedule versus doing it smart. And that's the era. That's the new thing we can really do with IoT. Since the devices are connected, we can learn more.
Okay.
We can accumulate more data, and that data leads to us understanding better what the machine needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if pressure is lagging or not at the same level as it was before, so there are certain patterns you can see over time. And that can lead and leads to a thing called predictive maintenance.
Mm.
So instead of preemptive, where you just do it because you think it will happen, to predictive because you know it will happen and you know when it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Always, this is not perfect. But it can be substantially more precise than just doing it on a schedule, which you think works.
Yeah.
Because who really knows, right? You always go off examples here or there, but you kind of, it's very hard to understand the big picture.
Yeah.
Like having all components, all the data at that point. You only know, oh, that machine broke yesterday. And then you can ask the owner or someone, who's like, how did you use it? Why did it happen? And it's like, well, I don't know, it just broke.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, so one thing you mentioned in a previous conversation outside of one of the episodes that I thought was interesting was, and I was hoping you could talk about this experience as well and how this relates to maybe the cafe experience. But when you started Roast, there was a lot of data that a lot of roasters were starting to pull that they didn't realize they needed. And then when that data came, it was like, oh, wow, where was this whole time? And I'm wondering if like, what that could look like in the cafe space as well with new IoT machines and sensors and just more data to be collected now in the cafe.
Yeah, I think it relates to that, seeing the full picture and not just parts of it.
Mm.
And then suddenly you realize how beautiful and how interesting and how complex that picture is. So what happened in Roast, with Cropster Roast, we started to connect roasting machines.
Mm-hmm.
To temperature sensors, or I put temperature sensors in, or if they had one, we connected those sensors with the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer would then put that information to the cloud. So we kind of made the roasting machine an IoT device without really being an IoT device, because you still need a computer and certain, you know, apparatus to get that done. But yes, the data was available. So once we started to collect more data, we could start correlating and say, well, this is the roast. It is a certain type of roasting machine. This is a certain type of coffee. This is a certain type of ambience. This is all different pieces of information.
Mm-hmm.
And not only on an anecdotal level where, and I've seen it a lot and I admired it quite a bit when people were writing a lot of the information to their notebooks.
Mm.
So a lot of roasters who took their job very, very serious 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they would just make a lot of notes. So they knew there's something in the data, right? So they could go back and revisit and look at it, but still, it is very hard for a human to compare so many data points and also keep them all in our brains at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So while you can see certain maybe developments or dynamics, maybe you can learn from it for sure. Having all the data consistently in one database allows you for a much better data interpretation.
Mm.
And of course, a better analysis, and that really led to that new picture, like mm-hmm. seeing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was then the feedback basically, and we only started with like a simple Rose curve, and then we added so many more data points.
Yeah.
So now you really have to, and I think there will be even more in the future, but the picture is already pretty complete.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said was exactly that. So Rosas came back and was like, oh my God, I had no idea how all this was related, or why did I miss that? And it's like, well, it's not your fault. It's just we are not made for interpreting millions of data points in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And but computers can do that fairly easy, and we have, of course, data scientists who help us with all that,
mm-hmm.
the task. And so also it's not a it's not an easy task, but it's totally doable and it's state of the art.
Mm-hmm.
And with that concept of, hey, we would like to show you the world from a little bit of different perspective, or we would like to show you the full picture, we now approach the coffee house, right? So the, mm-hmm. the espresso machines, where it's like, this machine can be smart. We can capture a lot more data than is available. And over time, we will really understand much better how that machine actually works.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what we kind of felt, or what we saw this happening, is it either really happening or it kind of is happening, and there's something, some small piece we might have missed, which now allows us to fully dial things in consistently and all the, basically all the time. So it's not a today I kind of got it right, but tomorrow I missed a little bit and I'm a little bit off.
Yeah. Enjoying this episode of the Coffee and Technology Podcast? This podcast would not be possible without the support of Cropster. Whether it's tracking harvest yields, roastery and inventory management, or simply tracking brew recipes, Cropster Origin, Cropster Roast, and Cropster Cafe can help you streamline your workflows and help you operate more efficiently. With all of this, so you mentioned one thing that kind of I always think about, and this is something more than just coffee, but when you say how our brains can't probably handle a lot of these data points, which is so true because it becomes a mess and it's not clear the way a computer can create tables and digest and filter out different data points and just manage all that. That makes me think like, okay, computers can do a lot of great things. And while we can get into the subject of like where computers start to take over in a lot of areas, and that becomes kind of scary, if we specifically keep it on coffee and on the retail, the cafe side, like where, with all that, let's just say brew data specifically being collected, where does it become like our responsibility to responsibly use and create tools that to keep the human, the barista focused, the barista first in the cafe, yeah, and not allow automation to take over the human side of it? I mean, whether our world is going that way or not, I don't know, but it's always a question.
That's a very interesting question, a very broad one. Yeah. I mean, what do we really want, or also what do we pretend? And I think it really depends what the goal is of a certain coffee house concept. If their goal is outstanding customer service and outstanding products, then there's always a human element there.
Hmm.
Which it's just, humans like to interact with humans. Humans are okay with also talking to machines and taking certain things out of a machine. I think it's fine for convenience and for it. Also, depends how smart that machine is. I mean, there's pretty good coffee makers out there who, yeah, are fully automated. You just put in some coffee and maybe give it a little bit more information about that coffee, and then it brews you a very good cup. That's great.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that's not possible. That's definitely possible. And the more data there is, that the more possible it is. But it's not, I mean, I always come from that. Why should we, there's so much fear out there. Like, whoa, computers will take over. Well, they already do in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really helping us, making our lives more enjoyable, making our jobs easier. You know, when cars drive and there's less accidents, I would love that.
Yeah. Right?
Or I truly believe in at some point, not only the driving, but really the whole traffic control will be like the air traffic control, right? There's one central authority which makes it. I just was reading a little bit about the Atlanta airport, right? It's like almost 3,000 flights a day. someone needs to coordinate that.
Yeah.
So those planes come safely in a, I think they land every 15 to 30 seconds. So it's a thing of precision, of putting all those planes into the correct loops so that they can touch down or leave at exactly the time and the second they are scheduled to. So yeah, there is more traffic on I-80 going from Sacramento to San Francisco, substantially more cars, but the concept could be the same,
yeah.
Right? A central authority which just predicts all the cars entering, all the cars leaving the highway, if there's an interruption, if there's a construction site or something, slowing everybody down, or even like you schedule you usually schedule your departure time, right? It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I leave at 8 to be there at 10. But what mm-hmm. about if you could really reliably put something into your car's computer or into your phone and say, I want to be there by 10. You put the alarm, you let me know when I have to leave.
Yeah.
Depending on today's traffic and on the prediction for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I think we can save a lot of time and a lot of nerve and a lot of sorrow.
Yep.
And a lot of money by doing that. So I think, again, this was a very long way of saying computers can be very good. and I think bringing it back to the like to the espresso machine, it is that consistent experience.
Yeah.
Customer like to have a consistent coffee. Customers like when they try something exciting and new, do not necessarily be the guinea pig and then it's a hit or miss if that new is good or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that good can be good from the start if it's well treated and if there's more information. So I think that's this element of let the machine help us to be a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
But also let us figure out as on the barista side,
mm-hmm.
the barista connects to the customer. The barista mm-hmm. sees that person and the person says, hey, I really want a very strong coffee. Or, hey, today I feel so adventurous. I want something exciting. And I truly believe that depending on how you brew certain coffee, it can be very strong or it can be very exciting or it can be just the average coffee everybody else gets.
Mm-hmm.
So dialing the machine towards or get creating the product the customer needs in that moment, I think that's next level, right? And how to figure that out? Well, only if there's an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I also sometimes compare it with like me going into a bar or into a restaurant, and then there's this wine list, and I'm just not a wine drinker or connoisseur, and it overwhelms me. It's like, what should I do here? The only yeah. thing I can do is I can read the description and I can look at the price and then maybe where it comes from, right? So it's like, well, I want something exotic from New Zealand or from who knows?
Austria.
Oh, even more exotic. Yes, Austria, of course. if I want to feel a little bit more home, then I can do that. But yeah, I have a little bit more reference. I would even know the region and where it's produced and so on.
Yeah.
But there, you know, there's those places where the waiter or the you know, whoever helps you out comes and actually just tells you exciting stories. Like, hey, you know, if you want to look at the wine list, it's fine if you feel comfortable, but I can also tell you, I have those three things. They're fantastic right now. Hey, if you want to try this, that, if you feel more adventurous, if you feel more conservative, if you feel, and I feel, oh my God, this is so nice.
Right? Yeah,
someone taking care of me.
Yeah,
maybe I just don't want to look at the list. I just want to be served, and I want to be in someone's hands who actually knows.
Yeah, yeah.
So the barista can do exactly the same thing, and that's what I feel like happens in those really fantastic coffee shops. They just ask you, or they feel the vibe. It's like how you come across, and it's like maybe this is for you, or give you suggestions, or just listen to you. It's like what is he? What does he want today?
Yeah. 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 No, it's true. And I feel like also on the flip side too, it's, you know, it also helps not just like all this brew data, for example, like it doesn't just help the barista. It could also help, you know, like management, for example, like train and educate baristas to be better baristas. You know, like I'll set some context. You know, coffee goes through a lot of moving, a lot of different hands, a lot of months of travel, and it goes through a lot of work. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, baristas can't pull a perfect shot every time. But if there's that kind of ability to kind of see, start to mitigate and try to limit the inconsistencies in brewing coffee, it helps present more coffees even to the customer, more to the customer, the way it should be presented more and more. Yeah. And I feel like only brew data can really help you help the industry get there. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think it's a usual responsibility, right? You're at the last second.
Yeah.
Of making it happen. All the coffee traveled so far, and you know, starting at the farm where big care over days and months and years was taken, and then all the transportation process and the roasting, as we know, is complex, and then you have those really fantastic beans, and if you have to throw away a lot to dial it in, that already is a crime.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's a loss. It's a huge cost.
Yes, exactly.
So now if you buy a really exciting and top-notch and very expensive auction lot, you don't want to spend half of it dialing it in.
No.
And having data, having information systems helping you with that, I think is to everybody's benefit.
Yeah.
And as you say, I mean, the barista like to learn. They like to know where they stand.
Yeah.
And they can do it either with the book, right? Writing things down and memorizing. And I think a lot of them are very, very good at that. So I wouldn't take that credit away. But I think computers can really add that extra extra level to that.
Yeah.
And that's the same with roasting. You should focus in the moment of what's going on and not on like, oh my God, I need to count the seconds, or what's the pressure right now, or what is the... Computers can do that for you.
Yeah,
there's so much more going on. So you can focus on what's right in front of you and where to interact accordingly. So And then again, look at the data, get the notes, get the hints, get information presented in a digestible and meaningful way, learn from it.
Yeah.
And improve.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I just thought of something right now that we may not have the answer in this for a while, but it makes me think. It's like, you know, we have all this connectability and ability to pull data from like machines and understand about and focus on the coffees. But one thing I really think about now is it'd be really cool if there was a way to start to track. I don't know how we would track this or what this would look like, but certain data points where we could help the improve the physical part of being a barista or the physical part of being like a roaster. For example, like all that time putting in, taking out the portafilter, tamping, like that does eventually take wear and tear on your wrists, for example. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that's something that some industry professionals are discussing a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But if there was a way to like start to, I don't know, somewhere pull different like movements that the barista is doing, like it'd be interesting because like not only are we focusing on now the coffees, we're also focusing on the person and helping the actual barista, like, you know, take care of themselves,
right? And I think that's a super important area. So not necessarily something we from a software perspective can come in right away, right? So it requires the hardware implementation of something which was done manually into something which a machine can do. So that is a lot of engineering. That's a lot of figuring out. I mean, there is automated tampers. It's not that's not exist, that doesn't exist, but how good are they? Are they good enough? Are they flexible enough? What is the surrounding environment? What needs to be integrated? And how much will that machine cost, and will people pay for it? rather have someone else doing it manually because it's not that big deal. What is a big deal, right? So that's I think that is the question for, like, the espresso machine is a little bit different because you need high pressure.
It is
just the way it was designed was not to replace a person's a little bit, right? You could also do the pressure manually, and there's those manual espresso machines where you apply pressure with your hand. But even those, like, you can hook up with systems and see if you do it consistently. So yeah, there's a little bit of that replacement.
Yeah.
But not a whole lot, I would say.
Yeah.
With pour over is a little bit different, right? So we saw quite the number of automated pour over machines.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm still the manual guy, right?
I'm
in my kitchen on my Haru V60 and pour water over the grounds. And I like it because I do this maybe twice or three times a day.
Yeah.
It's just 3 minutes or 5 minutes of getting away from work or just, you know, taking a little bit of time. So I think it's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, did I look up, I don't know how many websites and all those Kickstarter projects. It was like, hey, this is this automated pour over we can do it smarter and we could do it better. And we can, I think it's highly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say for environments where you don't want to do that manual work,
it's perfect.
There's great options. There's great options out there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Dang. Well, the more we get into this, the more I realize how much data can be collected that I think we still haven't even scratched the surface in the industry. There's so much things we can be tracking.
Yeah.
whether it's good or not, you know?
The good or not. And that's something I also would like to touch on a little bit. Because there is a lot of fear and a lot of like, why do we need this? I think there should always be a purpose behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to collect data to understand certain things a little bit better, but you should be able to state an estimated outcome before you start collecting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, well, you collect for the sake of collecting, and it's a little bit of gambling,
mm-hmm.
which, as I said, it might be okay to some extent, because sometimes we really just don't know. And once we have data, we can learn a little bit more. But a good starting point in general is always you have an intention.
Mm.
Like, we want to make coffee roasting more consistent. We want to make brewing more consistent. We want to make machine maintenance more affordable and more consistent. We want to save the environment so many thrown away pieces over time. And so there's all those intentions.
Yeah.
And I think data can help with that. And that other part is like, who manages the data? What is what is the policies? Who touches the data? How secure are the systems? Those are not light questions.
Yeah.
And whoever you work with, whoever manages your data or you connect your machines to, should give you meaningful, understandable answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's not easy because, of course, you have legal contracts in play, which are legal is always a little bit more complicated, but it's always I would say it boils down to a simple, who owns the data? That can always be spilled out fairly easy. Who is involved in data? And there's all kinds of levels, like whoever owns the machine owns the data,
mm-hmm.
period. The other companies might help with managing it and learning from it, but they don't own it. Or it's a shared ownership. Great. Maybe that's fair enough. That's also good.
Yeah.
Or it's basically only the company who manages the data owns it. Well, then you also know that's more like the, you know, some other models in the industry. And maybe it's fine as long as you know.
Yeah.
And then the third is like, whoever owns it sells it to anybody who wants it.
Yeah.
And that's also has impact. So knowing some of those questions, I think, is not unimportant, or asking them before you get into any contracts or before you connect the machine. And also, hey, is it possible to shut it off? So there's nothing wrong with shutting off your machine when you're not, when it's not in service, when you're not in the shop, shut down your Wi-Fi. I think that should be always an option.
Yeah.
So you also know there's a time where the machine is not connected. If you feel like that's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, you should know what the implications are. Some machines are then hard to reconnect, or
of course.
Just making this up. I don't know. But for some services it makes sense. It's always connected. Also for safety or security reasons.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. No, but I mean, I think what I get out of that is, you know, a few things. It's like, what's the goal of all this data, and who owns the data, and how do you have more control over your own data? Like, those are the three big things, I think, out of that, is like some of the most important things. So I like that.
What's your benefit, right? If you feel like, hey, this is, again, we go back to our fridge or to our washing machine. It's like, if I don't see a benefit, if the manufacturer or whoever manages the data cannot really tell me why this is good for me,
mm-hmm.
or I don't understand that, then maybe you should not do it in the first place, or really wrap your head around and understand maybe there's a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, updates can be a great benefit. Preemptive maintenance can be a great benefit. I consciously connected my car with my manufacturer because I want them to have more data. I want them to produce better cars.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit two-edged sword. Maybe it goes against me because you know more about me and my driving, and I don't know what not, right? So I also take a little bit of risk, but I took the conscious decision. I would support them with their data. And they nicely ask, and they also, it's a fairly transparent process. So it's not like, oh, your car is connected anyway, you don't know what you're doing. It's like, oh, this is the app, this is how you connect it. And yes, we'll use your data to improve your cars.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Makes sense.
That makes me feel a little bit more in control, or a little bit more conscious of what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not unimportant. So I love technology, as you know me. I mean, I use all kinds of tools, but it's totally fair to reflect and ask those. Maybe they are tough, but maybe those are needed questions to ask.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely, I'm totally with you there. Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Robert.
So I think that way we can sail into a very dynamic and interesting IoT future. And I think there's a lot more good to come. And also that the stupid will weed out and just go away.
Yeah. 100%.
As always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Coffee and Technology Podcast. To learn more about Cropster, subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. For more educational content, visit cropster.com/learn.